Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. The podcast that really has no idea who drove the plane out of the snow in airport. I'll explain that in a minute. This week on the show, Marty. And Marty is, well, he's Marty. What more do you need to know? Well, you're about to find out. Okay, in the intro, which I never explain my weird little things that I say, last week I talked about this week's movie coming up, and I said that Ernest Borgnine is in it, which is correct. I got something right. And I mentioned that I had always liked Ernest Borgnine ever since I watched him drive the plane out of the snow in the film Airport when I was a kid. And it turns out, and I realized this probably 20 minutes after I uploaded the podcast last week, that Ernest Borgnine is not the guy who did that. That was George Kennedy. So it was George Kennedy. I apologize to all Ernest Borgnine and George Kennedy fans for getting your heroes incorrectly placed. But it was George Kennedy who drove the 707 out of the snow in Airport. If you could tear the wings off a 707, you could use it as a tank, I believe was his line in that movie. But I am most dreadfully embarrassed by getting that wrong because I knew it. And I don't know why I said Ernest Borgnine was the guy, but I did. Enough about that. Ernest Borgnine is, and now I knew it was somebody in the Dirty Dozen, I just picked the wrong guy. Ernest Borgnine is in Marty, fortunately for me. And he plays a guy who is, he's not really down and out. He's got a good job and a good family and a relatively happy life, except Marty is looking for a girlfriend or a wife, and he doesn't have that. And everybody comes in, he's working as a butcher in a butcher shop, and everybody comes into the butcher shop and they're like, hey, you know, Marty, when are you going to get married? You know, and he's in his mid-30s, his biological clock is ticking, apparently, and all his brothers and sisters are married off, including all the ones who are younger than him. He comes from a big family and he's really frustrated. And he goes home and his mom is bugging him about this, and, you know, he doesn't want to hear it. And, you know, we've all probably had a stage in our lives when, you know, our social life wasn't looking the way we kind of thought it should. And that's what he's going through. And you can relate to that. His mom is a very, very, very Italian lady, and there's some good, I don't know if you'd describe it as ethnic comedy, you know, just with the family members and the way they interact, kind of like, you know, Moonstruck or Big Fat Greek Wedding, things like that, where you've just got these fun family members who, you know, just kind of razz each other and whatnot. There's some good spots in this movie, and it starts off pretty enjoyable. Marty's a pretty likable character. His friends are likable. His family is a good family. He's doing the right thing. He's working hard for a living. Everything's going great. And what do you think happens? Of course, he's got to meet a young lady. And he does. Now, if this movie had been made like 15 years ago instead of in the 1950s, Marty probably would have been gay. And there would have been a whole different plot line involved. But in the 1950s, he's looking for a young lady. He finds one at a dance hall. She's in the process of being blown off by the guy that she arrived with because she's not good enough looking. It was kind of a blind date thing. And he's got a better offer with some, you know, hot tomato hanging out downstairs by the cigarette machine. So he blows off his date. Marty swoops in and, you know, kind of becomes the guy, literally, that she cries on his shoulder. and they hit it off. They have a great conversation. They spend the whole night hanging out and going to different places, and everything's great, and he's really happy. She takes him home to meet, his mom, but his mom shows up, and, you know, nothing's going on. It's the 1950s, but, you know, the mom shows up, and she meets her, and everything's fantastic, and everything's wonderful, and the next day, he's going to call her and go to the movies, and complications ensue. Now, the complications start ensuing probably two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the movie. So there's a lot of setup, and you got these complications. I'm not going to explain what happens in case you haven't seen it, but stuff happens, and Marty can't call her right away, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then the movie ends. He makes a decision about something, and, you know, he takes a course of action. The movie ends. That's it. It's done. You're done. And you're out of there. And you're looking at it going, hey, whoa, hello, where's the payoff here? That's it? Credits are rolling, and you're going, where's disc two? There's no disc two. It's a 90-minute movie. They could have squeezed a few more minutes into this. And, you know, maybe showing a little bit of what happens, but nothing. So I started off liking this movie and kind of expecting to like it, quite honestly. And, you know, I'm watching it and it's going along pretty good. And it gets a little frustrating in the middle because Marty's kind of getting a little whiny at some point. But you're sticking with it and you're waiting for the payoff. And then it's the lamest payoff in the history of movies. And I can't believe that this ended up winning Best Picture. It's not a bad film, but really kind of disappointing in the way it turns out. So, and I'm not just, you know, well, go see it if you must. But I, you know, this is that rare film that went all the way from what looked like it was going to be a buy it in the beginning to rent its status about three quarters of the way through. And when it ended, I'm like, I can't recommend this. You got to be kidding me. So it's a skip it. I'm as surprised as anybody else, because I thought maybe I was getting soft and I was giving up on the skip it's and everything was just going to be a rent it or buy it from now on. But it's a skip it. And it really, you don't need to waste your time with it. Sorry. Now, next week, and this is where I usually hit the music for the next show, for the end of the show, but I have to say this because next week, the film is Around the World in 80 Days. Now, as short as Marty is, Around the World in 80 Days is 100 times longer. It's 4.5 hours. It's gigantic. They really don't make them like that. Well, they rarely made them like this ever, probably. And you're not going to see many movies like that nowadays. Because, you know, with the multiplexes, they just want to zip you in. 90 minutes, 100 minutes later, they want you out of there. And they want a new group of people paying customers in there, buying more, nachos and whatnot. But 4.5 hours, it's going to probably take a couple of sittings just because, you know, I have a life to get through this. I hate to watch a movie in multiple sittings, but that's probably going to be what it is. So next week, there we go. Next week, Around the World in 80 Days. I've seen parts of this before. I may have seen the whole thing a long time ago. I remember it as being a really good-looking movie. And I suspect it's, if it's going to hold my attention for 4.5 hours, it better be good. I suspect it may be. So we'll find out next week. Until then, I remain, as always, Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. It is a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire, as is the all-new Chico Walker Show. Check it out at bignoisybug.com. That's our newest podcast. Have a good week, everybody. See you soon.